Proverbs chapter 3 this evening, reading from verses 5 through 8. The title of this, He Shall Direct Thy Paths. This is our second message in this chapter. As I mentioned to you before, it's probably my favorite chapter in Proverbs. And the section we're reading is one of my favorite passages in this particular text dealing with the will of God. He said in verse 5, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. His shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Heavenly Father, we do ask again tonight for thy blessings to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture. Father, we ask this evening as we look at the subject of thy will and the promise you've given us to direct our paths, we pray, Lord, that we'd be attentive. We pray, Lord, that you speak to us by thy Spirit and thy word, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is another one of my favorite subjects, and it always has been. I have preached many sermons titled God's Will, just 2 years ago, Choices, last year, God's Counsel, other sermons, Waiting on the Lord, Seeking the Lord, all centered around this. Now, last week, we were in verses 1 through 4. We titled that Spiritual Balance in Life. This evening, we're going to look at the fact of walking in God's perfect will. Let us come back to verse 5. We find here in our text the promise of divine guidance or divine navigation. One of the greatest challenges in life is to find the will of God and to follow it. The quest to discover His will should be our heart's desire. And I believe that it is idolatry to make our heart our own counselor. We need God as our counselor. So no decision is too small to pray about and to consult God. Now notice he says here in verse 5, he said, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What we want to do tonight is take some of these words and look at some cross-reference of them. Notice in chapter 28, in reference to trusting in the Lord. That simply means depending upon the Lord, dependence upon God. Find here in Proverbs chapter 28, in verse 26, it says, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Coming back to our text in verse 5, Chapter 3, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It is trusting in the Lord is much more than just getting saved. You know, we talk about faith and trust and belief. It is much more than just getting saved. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. And I want to use Abraham, and then a little bit later I want to use Moses, but I want to use Abraham as an example. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when we come to Abraham and his life, we see as we read through the book of Genesis and other passages, Old and New Testament, that Abraham had trusted the Lord initially for his salvation. But we also find throughout the Scriptures many other times that he trusted the Lord in his everyday walk. And that's what I want to talk to you about mainly in reference to Abraham. I'm reading in chapter 11. We're going to read verses 8 through 10, and then we're going to drop down to about verse 19 or so, or verse 17. We'll start there. Notice in verse 8. Now again, before I read, to trust is to believe His word and to follow it. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. I know that's a simple statement, but it's a profound statement when you think about it. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we see and not by circumstances. Here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance," let's notice the next word, "obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now what we see in this passage is that our father in the faith, Abraham, he went out not sure of his destiny, but was sure of his God. In other words, you think about this, when we talk about faith, not just getting saved, but everyday faith and walking with the Lord. We find that Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldeans, Mesopotamia. And the Bible tells us here that he obeyed God. And he went out not knowing whither he was going. He left on probably a 2,000-mile journey on foot and just following the Lord and not sure of his destiny, but sure of his company. And we see in verse 9 that he by faith sojourned in the land of promise. He never did possess it as his descendants did later on. And it says in verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Notice with me as we come down to verse 17. Now we can read the book of Genesis and see the chapters on Abraham and his love for the Lord and his walk with the Lord. We can also read in James chapter 2. You can write down verses 17 through 24. We would find in the book of James that he was a friend of God. And it talks about his faith being perfected. And we also can read about Abraham. There's many places, but Romans chapter 4. You can write this down as well. Make sure I give you the exact verses. In Romans chapter 4, beginning along about verse 17 through 25, there's some tremendous statements made about him in this passage. It says that, I'll just read just a few of those before we read in Hebrews, but it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations." Now this is God speaking to Abraham. "Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." In verse 19 it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." And he tells us that this is written for our benefit, that we would have the same kind of faith. I like the verse here where it says, "And being fully persuaded," he's 100 years of age, Sarah's 90, they've been promised a child. He said, "being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." And then it says, "And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." So faith is much more, and trust is much more than just getting saved. There's a whole life. After that initial salvation, there's a whole life that we're to live by faith. Now, we see that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees in verses 8, 9, and 10. He sojourned as a stranger in the promised land, looking for a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. But I want you to notice something else about his faith in verses 17 through, we'll read through verse 19. It says here in these passages, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, now that's going to take you to Genesis 22. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So this is some years after that Isaac is born, probably in the teen years. But notice in verse 19, accounting. Again, Abraham had faith. He had faith. As Christ knew that when he died on the cross, that he would be raised from the dead, Abraham knew that if he had sacrificed his son, that his son would be raised from the dead, because it was through his son Isaac that the promises were given. He was the promised seed by which the ultimate promised seed would come. Now this is amazing. Verse 19. Now we're talking about the walk of faith, not initially getting saved. He says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so, I mean, that's amazing when he carries his son upon the mountain and he's willing to do this, believing that God would raise him from the dead. How many of us would even consider something like that? And this is not just a story for children. This is for us to help us in our faith. Well, come back with me to the book of Proverbs now, because what we're leading up to is that God says if we will do this, he will direct our paths. I want my paths directed. I want him, I want every decision I make, I want it to be in the will of God. So he says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now there's something else that's added here. You see, we're not to have any confidence in the flesh, Philippians 3 and verse 3. And Job, chapter 13 and verse 15, Job said basically, though he slay me, he said, I'm going to trust in him. Job's mind was made up that in death or life that he was going to trust in the Lord. The fall of man came about when man sought to live independently of God. Do you realize that this independence continues in the heart of men and women today? That's how the whole human race was plunged into darkness and into a curse, because man chose to walk independently of God. Momentarily, and the whole human race was plunged into chaos. But that same thing continues in hearts of men today, that we can walk independently of God and make our own decisions and be our own counselor. Well, notice he said, not only are we to trust in the Lord, but we're to do this with all thine heart. In other words, without any reservation, as Abraham was on that mountain, a full and complete surrender and reliance on God. Now, we sing a psalm every Sunday morning, one of our psalms. We sing two psalms, different, one's different, but we sing one psalm every Sunday morning, Psalms 139, the last two verses, verse 23 and 24. And that psalm speaks of our heart and God guiding us. David is saying, search me and try me and lead me. Short verses, but it's a profound prayer. And we find that in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We know that the Lord said in Matthew 22:37 to trust him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. In Romans 10:9, that can't be saved unless we believe with all of our heart. So when he says here in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, that is without any reservation, a complete and full surrender and reliance upon God. This is what God wants, and God has made a promise to us. But he says something else here. He says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, we fail in that too many times. lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 10. In Jeremiah chapter 10. And I'm reading in verse 23. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. We have these words. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Do we believe that? I believe that, don't you, Brother Avery? It's not in us to direct our own steps. We think we're doing fine sometimes. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. He says here, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 10. So we're not to delight or glory in our own wisdom and might or riches. Notice chapter 17. Yeah, chapter 17. Reading from verse 5. In chapter 17, reading from verse 5. We find here that he says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Then he shows what happens to him, verse 6, when he does that. But in verse 7, he said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, in verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out his roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then he talks about the heart. He said in verse 9, the heart, and see, we have the man that's cursed that will trust in the flesh in verse 5 and 6, and the man's blessed in verse 7 and 8 that will trust the Lord. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we see here in these passages in Jeremiah 9, Jeremiah 10, and Jeremiah 17, the contrast between the person that leans on the Lord and the one that leans on their own intellect or their own wisdom and knowledge. Turn back one more time to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at Moses. Notice something about Moses. Now, just a few weeks or back, I preached a message from Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And we find that the children of Israel, when they got to the Red Sea and Pharaoh on the other side and the mountains surrounding them, they were fearful and they started complaining and blaming Moses and God for bringing them to that place. And Moses had faith. He told them to trust in the Lord. And how did Moses know that? Well, he walked with the Lord. But I want you to notice as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, this time I'm going to begin in verse 23 and read down to about verse 28. But I want you to think about this as we read. Moses possessed a lot of intelligence. I mean, we know this. And he was also trained in the best schools and university in Egypt. And still yet, he chose to trust God at all cost. And by the way, I did not have the opportunity, Sunday, maybe another time soon, but when you read the five books of Moses and you look at all the, well, we did read a few things dealing with scientific facts. Moses gives a tremendously amount of scientific facts in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And you know what? He never quotes the Egyptian intellect and wisdom and philosophy, not one time. He gives you what God said. But he was trained in that. He grew up in that, his first 40 years. So let's look at Moses. We're reading here in from verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Now notice verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Now notice this. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he looked to the end of things when it's all said and done in resurrection, and he knew there would be a reward for following God. Not only eternal life, but a reward. Now it says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Notice he walked in this life by faith, verse 27, seeing him who is invisible. Turn back with me to Proverbs. Back to Proverbs. Let's read verse 5 again before we move to verse 6. Let me mention one other thing about Abraham. Well, let me just go ahead and read here, and then we come to verse 6. He says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In other words, lean on the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding and our own intellect and our own physical abilities. Now notice in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Coming back to Abraham just for a moment, when you read, I'm going to give you three different chapters in Genesis that are fascinating. When you read in Genesis chapter 12, I'm just going to give you one verse, verse 7, but the whole chapter, I'm thinking of the context of the whole chapter, because in the chapter, beginning in verse 1, this is where he's told to leave Ur of the Chaldees, of Mesopotamia. And he just packs up and leaves on a long journey. But you'll find in round verse 7 that Abraham was an altar builder. You'll find that again in that chapter, also in chapter 13 and in other places. He followed God and he built altars everywhere that he went. Why? To worship God. Also in chapter 13, verses 8 through 18, Abraham let God choose his land and his dwelling place. Remember the story of him and Lot, the herdsman? They had conflict and strife. And Abraham just looked at Lot, his nephew, and he said, you pick out where you want to go and I'll take the rest. He said, if you go this way, I'll go the other. And he said, vice versa. So Abraham allowed, and you know what Lot chose? Lot chose look toward the city and the riches and all the things there. And that's where he went. But Abraham just went. He allowed God. He went where God told him to go. In other words, he allowed God to choose his land, his dwelling place. He allowed God to do all of that. And we see God's blessings. God reiterated his promises in that chapter as well. He done gave him promises in chapter 12, but he just told him, he said, look out all the land that you can see one day. Your seed is going to possess all of this. And then one other chapter, Genesis chapter 24. We find that Abraham was so concerned about Isaac and for a wife that he not take a lost wife, a wife of the heathen, he had his servant to swear to him, to promise him, to make an oath that he would travel into this far land and get a wife for Isaac. A father's concern for his children to marry the right person. Now, here's the thing. A lot of young people today say, I don't want anybody involved in my decisions. I mean, they'll do that at 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years of age. You know how old Isaac was when Abraham sent his servant into a far land back to their relatives to get a wife and bring her back on this long journey? Isaac was 40 years of age. We have a 16, 17, 18-year-old looking in the face and, well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That's a fool. And it's contrary to Holy Scripture, and they'll pay the price for it one day. Isaac, at 40 years of age, allowed his father, now he's talking about a godly father, allowed his father to participate and to be a part in who that he would marry. Notice with me, as we come now again to verse 6, and he says, see, I want to camp out when I get to places like this. You know why? Because I need it. And if I need it, you need it. I need it. I need it every day in my life, every decision that I make, when I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night. I need these texts. And notice he says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. To acknowledge, that is to know, to receive with respect, and to know God personally and to walk with God, to acknowledge Him. James 1:5, with wisdom, if we want wisdom, and actually the following verses. Philippians 3 and verse 10, Paul wanted to know the Lord and to know His will. Also, you could write down 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 29. This is, let me make sure I've got that right. Chapter 28, verse 29. This is David unto his son Solomon. He said, And thou, son, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Tremendous passage in what we're dealing with here. And so he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And notice the promise, and he shall direct thy paths. That's the reason I titled the message tonight this. He shall direct thy paths. Now when we think about this in chapter 4, verse 11, in chapter 4 and in verse 11, it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. In chapter 15 and verse 19, we find the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous, notice the way of the righteous is made plain. Let me back up into the book of Psalms here just for a moment. In Psalms chapter 37, Psalms chapter 37, I'm reading in verse 23 and verse 24. And we have these words. He says, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. A promise that we have in the Holy Scripture. In Psalms chapter 73 and in verse 24. Psalms 73 and in verse 24. And the psalmist says, and really you need to read the whole context of this to really understand it. Because the psalmist is quite discouraged because he's looking around and he sees the prosperity of the wicked and all the things, seems like nothing bad ever happens to them. And then he said, these things are too painful for me in verse 16, in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. In other words, the righteous and the wicked or the unrighteous end up in two different places. But verse 24 says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." So God will guide us with His counsel. He's promised to do that. And a psalm that we sing, Psalms 121, Psalms 121, and in verse 3, it says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." So God gives us these promises. Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Again, another promise. In Psalms 112 and in verse 7, Psalms 112 and verse 7, we have these words. He said, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." And in Jeremiah 6, verse 16 and 17, speaks of the old paths. And still yet in that context, there are those who refused the old paths, just simply the ways of God. Now, a modern application of this is of this principle that we're looking at as we turn back to verse 6 in Proverbs 3. A modern day application of this would be consulting a road map or a GPS constantly if we were in a strange city. Okay? We can use the GPS today because we have it on their phones. We used to have them sticking on our dash of our automobiles. Matter of fact, I have one for a speedometer. My pickup truck, a speedometer's only worked on it about 6 months out of its whole life since I've had it, nearly 7 years. And so I glued one of those 25-year-old, somebody gave it to me, GPS, a little small thing, I glued it to the column of my pickup truck, and so it actually gives me the speed. I know where I'm going, so all I need it there is for a speedometer. But if we were in a strange city, we would want to constantly look at a map or the GPS, and the more you go looking at that, the less likely you are to get lost. And we've all been lost before. Now notice with me verse 6 again. I'm just reading these slow, and I want to read them two or three times each. These need to sink down into our ears and our heart. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This is a promise as John 3:16 is a promise. Now notice he says again verse 7. I think these verses kind of go together. He says in verse 7, he said, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil." Be not wise in thine own eyes. We are not smarter than God. Be not wise in thine own eyes. We would see a similar statement in chapter 26 and in verse 12. And he says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." Also in Galatians 6 and verse 3, Romans 12 and verse 16. We're not to be wise in our own eyes and in our own conceit. "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Then he says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." It's interesting the connection between the two. How striking is the connection between the fear of the Lord and the fear of sin. And you can write down chapter 14, verse 27, and also chapter 16 in verse 6. And you remember the story when Joseph had ran out of the house instead of committing adultery or fornication. He actually says that he did not want to sin against his God. He feared God, and because he feared God, he feared sin. He feared that which is evil. That's in Genesis chapter 39, verses 9 and 10. Now let us close. And I really have many other verses I'd like to give to you. Maybe I'll give them to you and we'll not read them all. But notice in verse 8, he says, "And it shall be health to thy navel." In other words, that is the life source of a child before it is born, is it not? The child can't live. This is what connects that child in the womb to its mother, its life source. So these things we're reading tonight, it says, "It shall be held to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Marrow gives strength and lubrication to the bones. Both of these are absolutely necessary. So it brings healing and health to the bones. And here in this case, especially spiritual help that it gives to us. Would you turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 25? I'm going to close in just a moment, but I want to give you some verses just on the will of God. Psalms chapter 25. And while you're close, Psalms 23, notice in verse 2, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Notice, "He leadeth me." God will lead His people in His perfect will by His Spirit and by His Word. God leads His people. Chapter 25. And by the way, if you're taking notes tonight, we'll just close here in chapter 25. But if you're taking notes tonight, I'm probably put down too many verses, but at least you can get part of them. In Psalms 32, verse 8, Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18, Romans 12, 2 speaks of being conformed to the perfect will of God. Ephesians 5, verse 17. And of course, the key to God's will in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12 is holiness. In 1 Corinthians 2, 16, if you want to know the mind of God, it's revealed to us in Holy Scripture. God's mind is given to us in His Word. In Luke chapter 11, verse 34 through 36, to be single-minded, to have our hearts and eyes fixed upon Christ and His kingdom. In one of the passages, Numbers 9, verse 15 through 23, the wilderness journey, God prepared a pathway through that wilderness. And they had a cloud that covered them and guarded them and guided them and led them by day. And they had a fire by night. God will lead His people if they will allow Him to do so. And He will lead you and I today in every decision that we need to make if we allow Him to do so. Let's close here in Psalms 25 in verse 9. It says here in this passage, "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." Would you stand with me tonight? Like I say, I love the subject of the will of God because it's so important in our life. It's very, very important in our life. It's very important. I want to read one other thing before I pray. And this is, we wrote an article 2005 on God's will. It's in the library. And on the back of this article, in closing, I put this to kind of sum up the will of God, and it's with a story. It says, "A certain harbor was treacherous and dangerous. In order for a certain captain to guide his ship safely into harbor, he had to use three lights as his guide." Avery, you'll understand this. "When all three lights lined up as one, he knew it was safe to proceed. Then and only then would he be able to bring his ship safely to port. In the case of finding God's will, the three lights are the Word of God, inward convictions, and outward circumstances. Please note that not only must these three things line up, but the order must be right. If we obey this principle, we can always proceed safely in God's will. The Word of God must be first and foremost, even before inward convictions and outward circumstances. Father, we thank Thee tonight for, again, the privilege to be able to assemble together into Thy house with Thy people of like precious faith. And Lord, we just pray tonight that we will meditate this week upon these passages, and Lord, that we'll always, with every decision, every choice that we make in life, we will seek You. And Lord, we know that You've given us the promise that You will direct our ways and direct our paths. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.